You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The shorter working week is a powerful and practical solution to problematic trends. For example, burnouts, automation, gender inequality, and climate change. The shorter working week is a simple idea to give us an utopian perspective for a better world. Working 4 days with the same pay, so people can enjoy their free time and still be more productive. It is a win-win. I spoke with Cal Lewis, writer of the book Overtime, Why We Need a Shorter Working Week, and founder of think tank Autonomy.
How many days do you work?
So I work a four-day week. At Autonomy, we're a four-day working week organization, so anyone that's full-time can work a four-day week. And so, yeah, so I work Monday to Thursday, Friday's off, which, yeah, I mean, it's great to actually practice what I preach now, and it's been amazing, you know, on that Friday is, really kind of special to me now.
You write that the shorter working week plays a crucial role in moving towards a more ecological, sustainable way of living. How will a shorter working week make the economy more sustainable? And how can we reduce the carbon footprint by working less?
One of the kind of arguments that has been made is that, again, if we can kind of reduce production and reduce the amount of time we spend at work, we tend to see a kind of reduction in our carbon output. This can relate to, obviously, commuting. It also relates to the kind of things that we consume the longer we work. So, I mean, that's one element of it. I think the other element is to look at the reasons or how reducing working time could kind of redistribute time from those who either don't have enough of it, who are underemployed, also people who work extremely long hours. So people, it'd be part of a kind of package of looking at equality and thinking about how we can build a kind of more sustainable society and sustainability in terms of equality and redistribution.
You make also the argument that it improved gender equality will be a fairer distribution of free time and also a fairer distribution of unpaid care work, which is still more done by women. Could you explain that a bit? How can a shorter working week help with gender equality?
Unfortunately, women are still kind of lumbered predominantly with these kind of this caring work, the work that has to be done to maintain life, whether that's bringing up children, whether that's, you know, maintaining a household, whether that's looking after relatives. This work still kind of falls predominantly on women. And so one of the arguments for shorter working week in terms of creating a more in terms of giving everyone back more free time is that would be not the kind of excuse no longer for men to regale and not to actually engage with this work. And so it would create, hopefully, it would create the possibility or the conditions in which men would have more time as well to engage and to carry out that work. So there'd be a kind of social redistribution of care and domestic work.
How did Corona change your ideas about the four-day working week?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. I mean, the way in which COVID, I suppose, overnight changed the rules in terms of how we can work. So, you know, there'd been arguments for years and years about home working and whether companies could actually function if a large proportion of their workforce was working from home. And there was these debates going back and forth. And overnight, you know, it proved that, you know, COVID kind of showed that enforcing organizations to work predominantly from home and the fact that productivity and performance was kind of maintained, it kind of showed that actually the way we work can be changed, you know, very radically and very quickly if there's a kind of a will to do it. Coming out of the pandemic, it felt like the genie was out the bottle in a certain sense. Suddenly the four-day week or shorter working week was something that actually came back with force, and this is something that the employees became more and more interested in.
The time we spend on work is not natural, or that it is a political question, how we spend our time on work, but also that it takes a fight to do that. And I was wondering, what does the fight now look like? What can we do? What is the political action that is necessary?
Yeah, it's a good question. As the case we kind of make in our book is that, yeah, like you say, that these things aren't unnatural, but also they're not given to us as well. You know, having a shorter working week isn't something that's just going to kind of naturally come about. It is going to be have to be something that is kind of that is demanded, that is fought for. And I suppose and the argument that we make in the book as well, there is no kind of one way in which this can be won. There will be multiple cases for a shorter working week and multiple demands made. So for example, we look to the importance of labor organizing and trade union movements. For the 19th and 20th century, they were the kind of biggest driving force in winning a shorter working week for workers. But that was obviously a time when labor organizing was was huge, and trade union movement was a lot bigger than it is today. But again, we're seeing, especially in the UK, but in Europe as well, we're seeing the reemergence of trade unions and their support, and they're getting incredible wins when it comes to paying conditions. And we think it's really important that trade unions put the demand for a shorter working week back on the table again and really kind of fight for it. And then also, from the kind of business case perspective, I think a lot of employers are finding it harder and harder to recruit staff, to retain staff, and also as well to kind of, be seen as actually, progressive employers who actually listen to their staff. And I think offering a shorter working week without a loss in pay, again, is something that can be hugely beneficial for business as well. It's definitely something that's going to have to be demanded and through multiple fronts, really.
That was Kyle Lewis, founder and researcher at think tank Autonomy.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.